The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Whew, this one of them parties that, boy, we got to, it's kind of mellow, kind of chill, man. You know what I mean? It's hard. Ain't too many smiles in the building. It is a reaction Monday. And I would like to give all of our military men and women out there a huge shout out. Happy Veterans Day.
That's right.
Big shout out to everybody out there that that go risk their lives and dedicate their lives to making what we do possible and the freedoms that we have on a daily basis possible. Big shout out to all that are serving right now, all that have served. And, you know, I look forward to the days of, you know, hopefully we can be better to and for our veterans that have fought for our country moving forward. And on a day like today, I also hope that I don't just say it today, think it today, and then forget about it moving forward, because I know there's so many veterans out there that need help, and there's so many men and women out there that are currently putting their life on the line for all of our freedoms.
I was going to say this here from the text line. This is Larry, still serving in the U.S. Coast Guard. Want to say happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there listening at 610 Clint and show it's Ron. Thanks for your support.
So, yeah, man. Yeah, I tell you, it's moving forward. That's one thing that I call it a goal, call it a desire, whatever you want to call it, man. I'd like to get more involved in some way, shape, or form of helping with our veterans, and just out of just sheer appreciation, respect, and admiration for what all of y'all do and have done on a daily basis. And dedicating your lives to protecting our freedoms, man. So big shout out, big thank you. Happy Veterans Day to any and everybody out there. Also to the families of all of our military and our veterans. Thank you for the sacrifices that you make and made and continue to make today. And hopefully, again, I encourage everybody to remember and appreciate and respect and take note and be a part of every day, not just on Veterans Day, but a hell of a day to celebrate nonetheless. Also, if you're out there and you are listening on the Odyssey app, we greatly appreciate you. AUDACY. If you haven't downloaded the Odyssey app, please do so. And we carry D'Amico Ryan's live, and obviously CJ Stroud live, and we've always got big time guests, and of course, between Sean and Seth in the morning, and my boy Reg and J Lo in the middays, and of course T Mill, me, Ron. Hell, I mean, you can always rewind and catch any segment out there. There's a rewind feature on that Odyssey app. You can take us anywhere you go. We greatly appreciate it. All right, let's get to it, man. Bobby Slowick is the topic of conversation. Hell, Tyler was just telling us his name made an appearance on the Pat McAfee show today. So, boy, you know you made it big time if Pat's talking about you on a Monday afternoon.
Is Slowick losing it?
I'm gonna be honest with everybody out there, y'all. A lot of y'all, that's gonna piss y'all off. A lot of folks, it's gonna piss y'all off. Today ain't the day. Today ain't the day.
It ain't Fall Guy Day.
This ain't the week to blame this thing on Bobby, y'all.
I hate to tell
y'all. Y'all have missed that train. Bobby Slowick was continuing to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result. What is that? Is it insanity?
Yep.
Right? The last six, seven weeks, if you want to really get down to it, that was the time to get in Bobby's ass and be able to justify every single bit of it. This ain't the week. What Bobby Slowick did is exactly what I asked Bobby Slowick to do on several fronts. And this is the game plan part of this conversation, y'all. From a game plan perspective, he adjusted in a major, major way. I want to see more quicks, I want to see more screens, and I want to see a commitment to the run game. We saw every bit of it, man. The quicks and screens were tremendous. The way that he deployed Tank Dell in those quicks and screens and bootlegs and making him the right now option, the first option in progressions early on. The way that he committed to the run game and didn't veer away from it, to me, was a huge part of the fact that C.J. Stroud didn't get the hell beat out of him for the entire game. Now, got a little hairy there in the fourth quarter when you had to take some risk. But I think that had a lot to do with it. Number one priority going into this ball game. Number one priority after the first 8 weeks of the season, Ron, had to be, or 9 weeks of the season, had to be, we got to protect C.J. Stroud or he's going to get hurt. We're going to lose our game changer. We're going to lose our leader. Bobby Slowick was able to do that. And if we're being completely honest, the adjustments were great in the first half, and they were enough to win in the second half. But your top players, torpedoed any chance that this team had of getting out of NRG Stadium last night with a W. The OC in the second half, when you had a lead and all you needed was some kind of score, he dialed up a nice bootleg option with Tank Dell. Not the underneath, because Detroit adjusted, right?
He had been setting it up.
Detroit adjusted. They were going to take away all that quick stuff. So what does he do? He takes and he shifts Tank Dell to the guy that's going to run the deeper route. What happens? He busts wide open. What's that go, Tyler? Bust it wide open. Tank Dell.
Tell him bring it back.
Bust it. Hey, wide open. And the quarterback's late. The ball floats. Larry called it a lollipop last night. And instead of a touchdown, which makes it damn near impossible given the clock, and the way your defense is playing for Detroit to come back, it's an interception. Instead of being, what'd you say it was going to be, Ron? Was going to be a 30 to...
It have been 30 to 13.
30 to 13. It stays at 23 to 13, and Detroit's got the ball going the other direction. Your top players torpedoed any chance that the Texans had offensively of adding more pressure and ultimately getting out of that game with a W. Ron, another thing I'm hearing a lot of is the conservativeness of sticking with the run.
That one's my favorite.
And I'm going to tell you what.
Because next week he didn't run it enough.
Right. Well, this is one where I knew, given the way the game was going and the way he was running it and the way there was a lack of production, I knew that this was going to be a topic today. But this is one of those where I don't have to agree with every damn play call, but I damn sure understand the method to the madness, man. One, it's been the best weapon, the most consistent weapon that you've had all year long. And good run football teams don't run it the first half and go, well, we're only going for 2 yards a carry. Let's just get completely away from it and let's go back to what...
Shut down Derrick Henry. They stopped him. We're done.
Let's go back to what was getting our quarterback killed before. So,
real quick, again, the best thing this offense has done consistently all year was run Joe Mixon.
Absolutely.
The worst thing that the team does is
protect C.J. Stroud.
I got you.
So folks are mad that he continued to run the football.
23-7 lead.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. The game situation as well. And didn't go to a progression pass game and CJ throwing the ball down the field more, which would have exposed him behind an offensive line that has more than enough proven to all of Texans Nation that they can't protect.
Last night we thought they were better. They still gave up 4 sacks.
Yes. Yes. And guess what? Guess what? You can't blame Kenyon Green. Right?
I remember listening to the post game last night when you realized they get given up 4 sacks. They gave up 4 last night. Damn.
I forgot that them last couple got up. I forgot the Titus Howard tried to take a handoff. I forgot that one was a sack.
Clint said, hey, they got sacked 4 times.
Gosh, dang it, man. So look, there's the commitment to the run game was as much of I'm going to lean into the best thing we've had all year as much, and I just simply can't afford to drop back over and over again. I don't care if it's first, second, or third down. I can't afford to drop back over and over again because these guys can't protect my quarterback. And the times that they did do it, I don't know. I'm going to watch the all 22 tonight. I'd be willing to bet you that even in this game, 25, 30, maybe even more percent of the true progressions where it wasn't a screen or a quick or a bootleg, true mid-range progression pass, I bet there's 30, 40% of it that they was pressured on this time. Now that there's 4 sacks instead of 2 like I thought, hell, there damn sure was some serious pressure. So, I mean, the thought that Bobby Slowick in the second half, now if you want to talk about the last drive, cool, but in the second half, should have gotten away from the run and exposed C.J. Stroud behind this offensive line in a game where you had the lead? The thought, I'm not opposed to having a conversation about it, but the thought that this is the time that everybody wants to fire Bobby Slowick? I just can't get down with it, y'all. This ain't the week for me to really get on Bobby Slowick. And I'll tell you what, I've been as critical as anybody on Bobby Slowick. I've been hammering Bobby's ass for 3 weeks. And I don't want to hear nothing about Diggs and Nico and this and that. I don't want to hear nothing about who's out and who's not. I'm worried about all that. Well, this week, given the way the Detroit Lions adjusted, tightened up, whether they're playing man or zone, they're going to take away that quick stuff. They're going to play more physical at the line of scrimmage and risk letting big plays happen. I can lean into the fact that there was no Diggs and there was no Nico Collins as a real issue for the Houston Texans in the second half based on how Detroit adjusted. I can really lean into that, Ron. So I just, with Bobby Slowick, man, was he great? No. But this ain't the week to lean into him. Here's a few things real quick, Ron. Would I have liked to have seen Bobby Slowick be slightly more aggressive in the last 2 drives? Maybe take a little more risk. I would have liked to have seen that. Would I have liked to have seen Bobby Slowick dial up something off the quicks, like a fake screen and go? You know, you see it all the time in a college game. Maybe a double move off of a quick that you had ran, snag and go, or quick out and up kind of deal. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that. Would I have liked to have seen Joe Mixon involved in the pass game in the second half, kind of like he was in the first half, and see if he could beat some man coverage? Yes, I would have liked to have seen that. Given that we saw Xavier Hutchinson so much, yes, I would. Would I have liked to have seen less Dare Ogunbowale in the backfield on third down in critical situations? Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that. I would have liked to have seen Tank Dell targeted more down the stretch in critical situations instead of Robert Woods and, as I mentioned, Xavier Hutchinson down the stretch. I would have liked to have seen him do a little more with Tank Dell right there. But boy, to get to the fire Bobby Slowick. Now, what Bobby Slowick was up to, what he was doing, what he was exposing this offensive line and C.J. Stroud to, yeah, you could be hot leading up to this. But this one here, they're going to win a lot of football games with this game plan that you saw today or yesterday. So I just can't get down with the fire Bobby Slowick, and this is a Bobby Slowick problem. Not today. I can't do it today.
Yeah, I just think people just need to admit that you have. One, as I've said, and many of you, you can take it how you want to take it. It is the truth. Many of you, he is going to be the fall guy because you can never look at the other place. Like tonight, anybody watching football understands and knows C.J. Stroud was the biggest issue with that offense last night in the second half. Right? C.J. Stroud and the offensive line were the biggest issues that happened in that second half. But nobody wants to go there. So the person that it is easy to go to is Bobby Slowick. Because, right, what excuses do many of you give CJ? Oh, his offensive line sucks. But Joe Mixon's been hurt half the time. They don't have a running game. Or his receivers are hurt all the time, and he's making – you know who else has to deal with that? Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick has to try to call plays with an offensive line that can't run block or pass block most times unless Joe Mixon's in the game and it's only a certain amount of runs. He has to deal with all of the injuries. He has to come up with a passing game that has a quick game that also includes a passing game that doesn't include Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs because they're injured. He has to do all of those things as well. And the thing that I love the most is what many of you just say, you mad because the plays didn't work. And then think to yourself, why didn't the plays work? Is it because it's a bad play call? Or is it because, hey, man, it don't really matter what he calls sometimes when these guys get their ass kicked the way they do up front and when these guys don't execute that the way they should. But many of you, oh, he's so predictable. There were 7 drives in the second half. Because I know many of you aren't talking about the 23 points he put up in the first half. But the second half, there's 7 drives. 3 of them, he started with a pass. 4 of them, he started with a run. In those 7 drives, in any of the sequences, never were they the same. The first one was a pass, pick 6. That one, or interception, ended the drive. The next one was a run, and then a pass, and then a pass. The next one, I'm going to go right through them, because all y'all just keep saying, oh, he does the same thing, he's so predictable. The next one, these are 2, it's the 3rd drive. Run, then pass, then run, then pick. Right? Different sequence every time. The next time they get the ball in the 4th quarter. Pass. Threw it all on those downs. The next one, they get it. Pass, run. He had a different sequence every single drive in the second half. So it wasn't predictable. It wasn't he runs it, and then throws it like many of you make it up to be. No, it wasn't. No, he did things different. And in this game, his guys didn't execute. They should have put up 30-plus points with what he did in that game. Now, I'm not going to sit here and do like many of you all do with some members of the team and the offense and absolve them of any blame. No, I think he does get some. I think he does have some place of blame to go through. And I think he does the last 4 weeks. You don't just score 15 points in the second half over 4 games and be down 40-6 in 2 games in a row in the second half the last 2 weeks without the offensive coordinator getting any. But it ain't all on him. You want to fire? He gets fired when he doesn't have an offense. He didn't pick Kenyon Green. He didn't pay Titus Howard. He didn't pay Laramie Tunzel. He didn't pick Juice Scruggs. It ain't none of the people's fault that picked him. And ain't nothing. Come on, man. It is utterly, utterly ridiculous that you just roll through for this guy last year who did what he did last year. Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, he stinks. You got Nico? No. Does he have Steph Diggs? No. Does he have a good offensive line? No. Does he have a terrible offensive line? Yes. Is his quarterback helping him? Not as much. Let's fire Bobby. Get out of here with that. You kidding me? Every excuse you make for CJ, Bobby gets. Get out of here with that. Let's get him. We'd be better. Get out of here with that. Coming up. Whew. What are the Texans now? What are they right now? Are they a team that's going to make the playoffs? They're a team you still think can make a run? What are the Texans right now? We'll discuss that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into Reaction Monday, and we will get to what the Texans are, but it comes, it comes and it goes, and I do. I think Bobby Slowick is the biggest story right now with the Houston Texans, at least from the fan base that we get, that we talk to through the text line, through YouTube and Twitch. That's the number one thing. It's Bobby Slowick, Bobby Slowick, Bobby Slowick. Hell, we try to open up the phone lines, and Bobby Slowick is where people wanted to go. And I see a ton of people who just responded to our last segment there. And you know, rolling through again, like someone here, Ronald is wrong. It's Ron, my mom, my wife. Ronald is wrong. The problem with the play calling is that personnel shows the defense what is coming. Tegan Quatoriano and Stover check in. Schultz checks out. Defense knows that it's run. Ogunbowale comes in for pass pro. Defense knows. No, the last. Hell, no. Dare took a handoff for a draw for 11 yards. All right, like, hell, Dalton Schultz was in there getting his ass kicked. But what do you? But they can't block. Who cares what they what they're trying to show?
Look, I mean, Bobby for six games tried to do stuff with Dalton Schultz in protection and run, and he can't. There's a reason why they picked Tegan Quatoriano up off the Chicago Bears practice squad and brought him in. There's a reason why they've got a rookie in there that's got a physical mean streak to him, so they're willing to accept the fact that he's got some flaws. They're not. They don't choose to do that. That is a product of 86 Dalton Schultz failing to meet expectations in that aspect of the game. I mean, that's not like the Dare Ogunbowale thing. That's not Bobby. They traded away the best backup running back they have, and Damian Pierce can't stay healthy. So Dare Ogunbowale is what they have. You think Bobby Sloak wants to go out there and what was it, 4 games ago, Dare Ogunbowale, 5 games ago, Dare Ogunbowale's got 20-something touches? Think he wants to do that? No. I mean, that's not, like, I don't know. Ron, look, I look, we're talking about the second half, and I wanted to do this. You were on a streak earlier, and I know we got to get to this, but.
Oh, no, take your time. Well, Bobby Sloak's the biggest
thing. Well, but this, Ron, this is just, you mentioned, because you brought this up, the 7 drives in the second half. And again, I don't care how you fan. I don't care what you think. I just want to try to give you some ammunition or something to justify how you feel or help you realize, like, wait a minute, maybe there's 7 drives in the second half. The first drive, Stroud throws an interception on the first play. Oh, it's completely on Stroud. Wasn't a tip ball. It was a piss poor decision, bad throw, right? The second drive is the drive they're backed up coming out on the 1-yard line. When you're backed up on the 1-yard line coming out against a team like Detroit, really against anybody, the goal is the number one goal. Every team in the NFL, so this isn't a conservative Texan thing. This is every team in the NFL. Hey, get enough yards so that we can punt and not punt with 11 yards to spare here. So that's kind of one of those drives where you go, it's kind of a throwaway drive because the intentions are and the focus and the priority is just give us room to punt this thing, right? That's the second drive. The third drive, move the ball a little bit. Tank Dell wide open for a touchdown. Stroud interception, right? It's not on Bobby. Ain't nothing Bobby can do, right?
Schemed up two down big plays down the field on that drive.
That's right. The fourth drive, first and 10. On what I believe was a 6 or 8 yard run, Juice Scruggs gets a holding penalty, which, by the way, I think is a phantom penalty. It's a BS call. On first and 20, one of your veterans, it's not Kenyon Green, it's not Juice, it's not Jarrett Patterson, Shaq Mason. One of those pass plays, trying to play action, hard play action, and take a shot down the field.
McNeil just kicked his ass.
Shaq Mason, sack. Now you're in second and 30. What do you want Bobby to do for second and 30? Tough to call plays right there.
5 wide.
Tough to call plays right there, right? Especially when you've proven over the last month that you can't protect your quarterback in the mid-range to deep-range game, right? All right, the fifth drive. Again, you're backed up, coming out.
Leading.
Woods, I believe, dropped the ball over the middle, which is a little suspect. And then Hutch can't win. That's when this is the play you're talking about, Ron, where they flip the field, start the fourth quarter. Hutchinson, they get the safety on Hutchinson man-to-man, and he turns the blinker on and lets everybody know he's going to run this post. He's going to turn left inside, and a safety is able to break that up right there. It's not on Bobby. Bobby drew up a perfect man beater, and CJ decided to throw to Hutch. Didn't get it done, right? The sixth drive, Cade Stover gets a penalty. End up in third and 10. Guess what happened? Your highest paid offensive lineman whiffs on some man named Jared Parham. I think, I don't know if I got that first name
to
right.
To this person who's texting in, it's not about the play calling. It's about the scheme that the tight ends are always blocking.
Well, he's going back to that last conversation.
Blocking, yeah. That since the Minnesota game, how many times has that been an issue?
So Tunsil and Titus Howard on 3rd and 10, the most critical point in the game right there, where you just need to, you need to move the ball 15, 20 yards to get a shot at a field goal. Tunsil, your highest paid player gets beat like a drum. And Howard tries to strip the ball from your quarterback and damn near causes a turnover. That's on 3rd and 10. The next drive, you get into field goal range and you missed a 58-yard field goal. I just don't know how. I understand some of the frustration of some situational football, or maybe not so much commitment to the run, or you know, maybe this or maybe that, or you know, maybe you can talk about that tight end package. That's fine. We can have a conversation about that. I don't know how you look at that's how the third and fourth quarter unfolded, and this is when you choose to be. I understand you hurt. I understand it was a tough loss. I understand it sucked when you get shut out in the second half. But this. That right there happened in the second half, and Bobby Slowick is the first one that gets the finger. That's tough.
Yeah, and the ones texting in who are enjoying yourselves, hit me with the, oh, it must be nice to have Andy Reid in Kansas City. Oh, you know, no, Andy Reid pisses me off too. Andy Reid has his blind spots too. Andy Reid refuses to help his tackles, even though they get their asses kicked, which is potentially a thing that could really help the Texans when they play on coming. He won't chip. He won't chip enough. For my liking, even if the guy's coming around just whooping their ass. But also, Patrick Mahomes just blew 2 wide open touchdowns yesterday, and I don't blame Andy Reid because Patrick Mahomes blew touchdown throws. Or I don't blame him for every little thing that happens with the offense. He has his warts. He has his problems. No, you think Bobby's cute. Andy gets cute as hell. He'll be at the 2-yard line with Kareem Hunt and throwing it.
Bundlerski.
Yes, all of these guys get cute. But my goodness, man. Like it's just forget everything that you saw last year. Forget everything. And then just absolutely forget. Like, I'm going to be mad at Andy Reid when he waltzed out there with Juju Smith-Schuster as his lead receiver 1 week. And what the hell are you doing? Come on, Andy. Give me a passing game. They can't block up front. That to start with, they can't block up front. As Clint said, that handicaps everything that you want to try to do. I mean, he at least got to get a mulligan for that one. They can't block up front, no matter what combination they put up there. One thing we do have to address, and Bobby Slowick, for those of you that the Bobby haters, he'll make an appearance here. These second halves for the entire team, 40-6 the last 2 weeks. That is just, that's almost unbelievable. 40-6. We'll address that and T-Mill's best bet.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Tomorrow, 2:30, right here on The Drive. Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans. We'll hear from him tomorrow. And we'll see the thought process, the mood that he was in yesterday after the game. Obviously, he was not at all in a good mood. We'll see where he is. He'll have time to have watched the tape as they get ready for a Monday night game against the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll have that tomorrow. Programming note right here on The Drive on Sports Radio 610, 230. D'Amico Ryans will carry that live for you. Coming up here in a bit, we'll get to T. Mills' best bets tonight. Big Monday night football game tonight. So I'm sure that will play a major role in the bets to try to make you a little cash tonight. All right. Now, listen, again, as we were just talking about Bobby, I do think Bobby Slowick does deserve his fair share of criticism and blame. And I think a big place for him, and obviously he's just a part of it. When you look at the defense, D'Amico, the players, all of it. Clint, the second half thing is just almost unexplainable. 40-6 against the Jets. And last night against the Lions, 40-6, they lose second halves the last 2 weeks. They have gone in with leads in both games. Yesterday, 23-7, and then the previous week against the Jets, 7-0, going into halftime, and they just get pummeled and lose 40-6 in the second half. I mean, I think there's got to be some look at adjustments or the lack thereof. I think that's got to be a part of it. I think that's where Bobby comes into play. I think that's where the whole coaching staff comes into play, the players, whatever. But I mean, it's so bad, Clint, it's hard to just pinpoint it on one thing. I mean, 40-6, and not to mention, obviously, we talked about they haven't scored a touchdown since October 13th in the second half, and they've scored 15 points total in the second half in the last 4 weeks. But I mean, this is almost unexplainable that it is that bad. 40-6 the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's easy to explain. They didn't adjust in 8 games. What the hell do you want to make? What the hell do you want them to do at halftime? I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, they look at. I mean, I can point at several, especially if you're showing the last month, right? The last month, I think they've been outscored 60-15. In the second half. I think that's the last month. Four ball games. And when you look at it, it's not sure. You can say it's halftime adjustments because I mean that is a fact. But I think the reality of it is the fact that they refused to adjust at all offensively. And that was a major problem. You know, teams were able to constantly pressure C.J. Stroud at a damn near 50% clip, and because of that pressure, the obvious, you end up in third and long and second and longs, and as the game goes on, C.J. getting hit starts to show in his feet and his eyes. As we said, he misses a touchdown to a second half touchdown to John Metchie against the Jets that would have changed the game. He missed a big-time throw. I can't remember if it was in the first or second half to Metchie on a corner route. The game before that here, what was that, the Colts?
Yeah.
Missed. I think that's when I really started leaning into C.J. Stroud's got to play better.
He's wide open, C.J.
I mean, he missed 3 or 4 wide open targets. So whether you want to talk about it's the pressure that was causing it, just generally the pressure, the result of the pressure, or you want to talk about the effect that the pressure has on your quarterback, it all takes place and comes to a head in the second half. And it wasn't just the inability to adjust at halftime. It was the inability to do adjust at all. For 8 weeks of the season, 9 weeks really, because what are they, 6-4? So 9 weeks of the season, they literally refused. And that's why I was screaming on the mountaintop, yelling, the hell are we doing? They refused to adjust offensively at all. It was still stay aggressive, execute. From D'Amico, Bobby Slowick, and C.J. Stroud all the way down.
But it's defense too, obviously. I mean, 40-19, what'd you say, 60-15 too? I mean, it's on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, the second halves have been ugly, and there's no doubt about it. I look forward to the day that second half adjustments are what we got to worry about with these Texans. Like, look, it's not good. Like, I mean, I say that in a sense of like, again, they didn't adjust in 8 games, so it's hard for me to get mad at halftime. You know, the adjustment that the Detroit Lions did make made it very difficult for Bobby Slowick to do what he needed to do with no Steph Diggs and no Nico Collins. I mean, it's just, I agree. There's no one answer, right?
When
you can't protect the quarterback, it's just like when a team knows you can't protect the quarterback, whether you couldn't do it in the first half or you threw your quick game and your screen game and you ran the football consistently like you did it in the first half against Detroit and you avoid all those negative plays. Either way, the team knows, the defense knows, we're going to adjust. We're going to take away the quick stuff. All you do is like just keep stacking the box like they were to stop the run. You sure, even if you're playing zone or man, you push the coverage up, you bring your corners up, you bring your linebackers up, you don't give them the quick stuff. You force the quarterback, even when it's a quick game call, to hold the football. And when he holds the football, we're going to get to him. It is hard. It is extremely difficult to, when you can't protect the quarterback in the mid-range game, it's extremely difficult to string four quarters together and them not get the best of you at some point in time. It's just, and it happened yesterday. I said earlier, your best players torpedoed your chance in the second half to score any points. I'm talking about Laremy Tunsil, Tytus Howard, Shaq Mason, and C.J. Stroud. Torpedoed your chance. And I think somebody just said that on that last third down attempt right there before the 58-yard field goal miss, that Dalton Schultz slipped. So you can add that $12 million a year tight end to the mix. Right? I mean, it's just like that. That's when those things are happening. It's just very difficult for me to lean into adjustments. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I don't say that in any way, shape, or form to minimize anybody that's pissed off about the adjustments.
Because
the adjustments are not good. But if you go out there and you make the plays that you should make that are there, you beat the best team in football on Sunday Night Football. Right? I mean, it's just like there's just layers to the issues that the Texans have. And until they figure out how to protect the quarterback, it's going to be very, very difficult. Against better defense, it's going to be very, very difficult to play a four-quarter game.
Yeah. All right, coming up behind us, D'Amico Ryans, the coach's show with D'Amico Ryans. He will take over as soon as we get done here next segment. And then there will be a little Texans All Access with D'Amico Ryans. And then you'll get ready for Monday Night Football. Dolphins and Rams will be right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, Tyler, let's hear. What are your best bets tonight?
Yes, sir. Been performing quite well on the NFL bets.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, been performing quite well. So if you want to win some money, you can follow these bets. I got six best bets for you. And if you miss any of these, if I say I'm too fast or something, you can find them always posted on my Twitter at T-Mill Real Deal. First best bet tonight. I got the Rams winning this one, and I got them covering this spread. I got the Rams -2.5. Secondly, I got a Dolphins team over in the first half, over 10.5 points for the Dolphins in the first half tonight. I'm also on the Rams over for the entirety of this game. Rams over 26.5 tonight against the Dolphins. And then three player props for you real quick. I got Devon Achane. I'm sorry, he has now decided it's Achane. HN over 43.5 receiving yards. I got Tyreek over 5.5 receptions. And I got Matthew Stafford, Rams quarterback, over 1.5 touchdowns tonight in L.A. Out of those six, boys, which one you feeling, if any, at all?
I'm really turned on by the Tyreek 5.5
Bingo.
Receptions.
Bingo. You took the words right out of my mouth.
With Tua back. Now, if they were playing some of those guys, some of those quarterbacks, well, I'm sure Mike McDaniel, who's catching the blame for not winning with some of the quarterbacks they have, I would feel differently.
But if Tyreek Hill don't have six catches, they ought to fire Mike McDaniel on the plane home.
It feels like Mike McDaniel will get this done by the half.
Yep. Let me get 100 on that, T.
I'm out of room.
Out of room with the sights down. He's gonna
have excuses. You're not. Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of college basketball tonight, too. I got some action on.
I really tried to defend you. Big day tomorrow, Kansas, Michigan State championship.
Mm. Mm-mm.
All right, I really didn't think you had anything. today.
I mean, it's Monday night, man. One football game tonight. I can't get one bet in.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't think that was the
apologies.
All right. Coming up, D'Amico Ryan's behind us with the Coaches Show. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Appreciate everybody else on this Reaction Monday. Great interaction on the 5-Hour Energy Fan text line and YouTube and Twitch. As always, champs like you just wrong in wrestling and in football. Coming up behind us, got D'Amico. He'll be with us tomorrow at 2:30. I'm Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. When the day that lies ahead of me. It's like what Ron Jeremy said. I mean, almost not even. I mean, not Ron Jeremy, not the porn star with the big Johnson. I meant Ron Burgundy.
Sorry. I was like, what?
Sorry. Hey, it's a little nasty time at 2:10. I meant Ron Burgundy, who says, "I'm not even mad, man. It's like it's impressive." And the
world's all right with me. I mean, that really got out of hand.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.